right. Well, let's.
Well, moving on. You want to do some listener questions?
Absolutely.
Now?
And just to remind everybody, you know, if you want to submit a question to us, you can always email that to drgene@hensler.com, and that's doctor with a DR, so that's abbreviated, drgene@hensler.com.
Okay, all right, well,
Charlie, what we got?
We got Emmett from Grovetown. Emmett says, I read the scathing article on Bill Gross clashing with former CEO Mohammed El Arian in this week's Wall Street Journal. Do you think the drama at PIMCO will harm their funds? Should we stay invested? It was a pretty interesting article. If you haven't had a chance to read it, go back and look for it. It's.
I guess the takeaway, Charlie, I mean, you know, when I read this, is that he might be a difficult man to work for. Is that
well, like, you know, but how many of those are out there?
Yeah.
Those are all over.
There's plenty.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. It's not real flattering. But the thing that you have to consider here is the El Arian was supposed to be the co-CEO. They were basically grooming him to be the successor.
I mean,
he was there for a long time.
Right.
Left in 99 approximately to go and run Harvard's endowment.
Right.
And then left there, I guess it's been maybe, 5 years ago or so?
Yeah,
to go back to PIMCO, maybe less than that.
Yeah, that was 2007, I think. He also had a stint at the IMF for a little while. So,
that's right. That's
so,
right.
Overall,
and Bill Gross, I mean, how old is he now?
He's 69 years old.
69. Yeah. So,
yeah.
I mean,
this is succession planning. He was the heir apparent.
Right, exactly. I mean, here's the thing. It highlights at least one thing. Bill Gross is surely in control of the investments at PIMCO. And, you know, they made out that he didn't really like to be second-guessed at all. But all things considered, there are none of those PIMCO funds that we actually recommend within our recommended lists at the moment.
Right.
And one of the biggest reasons is they frequently have leverage. If you look right now, PIMCO total return, if you looked on Morningstar, is showing that it holds 168% of its assets in bonds.
So they're, you know, by leverage we mean they are borrowing money to buy additional bonds, and that's one way you can bump up the returns, right?
Exactly.
By having, you know,
right.
If
mm-hmm.
your borrowing cost is less than you're making on what you're buying.
Right.
But that's not necessarily the safest way to play it, is it?
Exactly. Yeah, you've got a negative cash, which is indicative of borrowing. I mean, that's one of the things you can look for if you're out there digging around in mutual funds. But normally people that invest in mutual funds are not real crazy about wild swings. Obviously, you want to win. You want to do as well as you can, but when leverage is being used, it increases the risk pretty significantly.
Right.
So the other thing you have to understand is Bill Gross has not always been right. I mean, a lot of the things that he's talked about in the past, there's some that say he expected the taper to go away or not to be implemented in December. We saw that was wrong. He made a comment in 2009 to avoid stocks. If you've watched what the stock market's done since 2009, you know that that was probably not the best idea.
Well, he's a bond guy, of course.
Of course.
He wants everybody
right.
to avoid
he's,
stocks.
Yeah, he's talking his book. So all things considered, I think there are more reasons to be concerned about a PIMCO fund.
There was some serious. There had to be some serious issues here. He walked away. Well, how much money was Hilarion making?
He was making $100 million a year,
yeah, which is about half of what Mr. Gross makes.
You have to be pretty upset, I guess.
Well, I think his marketability elsewhere is pretty strong.
Right.
Even if it's not, how much of that $100 million do you think he's got?
Let me ask you another question since we're on the topic. So bond funds, is if you're running a bond fund, is bigger better?
Well, not necessarily. I mean, obviously, bigger's better for you. You're going to get more money on the assets
right, but
that
from
you
an,
manage.
If you, well, if you looking, can reduce if you the costs, if that'll drive the cost of the fund down.
So it'll drive the expense ratio down. Do some of these bigger funds that have more money to put to work maybe get a better deal if they go out and buy an issue or, you know, directly from a company or a municipality or something? Do you think they get an edge in the market a little bit that way? Or?
They might, but I'll tell you that most companies that are looking to borrow are going to try to look for the best rate they can. I mean, you're talking about things that would allow you to make a quick and easy transaction. I guess there is some benefit to that. But
mm-hmm.
in the end, you want to lower your borrowing costs, so you're not going to try to pay a premium for that, or
right.
not too much of a premium anyway.
Right.
So it could, but obviously you get on the scale, you could wind up in a situation where it's more difficult to manage overall.
All right. Okay. Well, we've got another question here, and Charlie, maybe you can give us some insight on this. Miles Cameron from Hiram. Have a Roth 401k with an employer, and I'll be leaving at the end of the month. Can I roll that into another Roth 401k at my new job, or should I put it in a Roth IRA?
You should be able to roll it into either one of them. Well, we know you can roll it into a Roth IRA, assuming the plan administrator of your new 401k will allow incoming rollovers.
So you
will. There's no rule prohibiting that unless they just don't accept it. But most of them these days will. So you should be able to move it into your 401k, your new job. That'll limit you to, of course, the investment options that are available in that 401k at your new job, which may not be limiting, or it may be. We see when we review plans, some of them are good, some of them are bad. If you move it into a Roth IRA, of course, then you've got
everything
in the world that's available to you. You could have it at a Charles Schwab as a custodian and invest in stocks, ETFs, mutual funds. So,
and I think, you know, sometimes when I run across this, or people ask me this question, you know, it kind of depends on how much money we're talking about. I mean, if you didn't want an outside account and roll it into an IRA, if you had $1,000, you only worked there for a month.
Yeah, there's a benefit to keeping things consolidated
in
one place.
See if you can roll it into that current plan, so that may be a factor as well.
All right. Well, next question. We've got an investment question here. Richard from Atlanta writes in, what is your advice on Vodafone and Verizon after the recent spinoff? So, Troy, what exactly happened there with the spinoff?
What happened was Verizon recently purchased the 45% stake of Verizon Wireless that was owned by Vodafone. Mm-hmm. They had formed a partnership some years ago, and the cost of that was $130 billion, one of the largest in history as far as corporate action transaction was. But management stated that the deal will be immediately accretive to about 10%.
And that means it's going to add to earnings
almost immediately. And that seems reasonable because, you know, the company's already been operated by Verizon, has their own name. You know, it's
because a lot of times, you know, with some of these big mergers or, you know, big reorg or something, you'll see where it's, you know, diluting earnings. So, so when something that's adding immediately to the bottom line, that's usually
it's a positive. But there are a few things that you need to watch. In the $130 billion, a big portion of it was stock, but the Verizon did borrow $6.6 billion in order to get this transaction completed, and it immediately caused their debt to be downgraded
from an A minus to a little bit last week too.
Right,
you got to kind of pay attention to that balance sheet.
Exactly.
Right?
I'll tell you that both of these companies still meet our investment criteria based on financial strength and safety. You know, overall, if you look at it, we hold Verizon in one of our portfolios that's dividend focused. The big thing that I'd be concerned about is making sure that there's plenty of money to cover that dividend. As long as I mean that's the way we look at that particular
the cash
holding.
Flow.
And we held Vodafone in the past. I think overall the operations tend to benefit Verizon because now they're in control. So just watch out for that dividend coverage and I think we'll be good.
Good advice. Okay, time for another break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.